Hey everybody, welcome to the Worship Learners Podcast. This is episode 2 and we are back.
Woo woo.
Coming at you live from the middle, the heart of Central Georgia in the farthest closet in my house. I'm your host, Matt Evans, and I'm here with my good friend, the Michelangelo of design, coming at you from the home of Atlanta Motor Speedway. It's Daryl Pinnock.
What's up, brother? And dude, I'm just the regular guy, right? I don't want my naysayers out there to hear you talk about me like that and be like, nah, not that guy. I don't want them out there to start coming out the woodworks. But nah, man, it's great to be here again. I'm excited about what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, man, this is episode 2 for us. So we're still sort of getting the hang of this thing, but excited about taking this journey. Excited about doing it with you, Daryl. Man, thanks for jumping on here.
For sure.
We've got lots of great things to talk about. So just as a way of intro, if this is your first time joining us, this podcast is really just by worship leaders for worship leaders and church leaders, even kind of more specifically for worship leaders and church leaders who are in small to mid-sized churches. So we talked about the last episode that's kind of our experience and our background, and have a heart for guys who are maybe in churches with a little bit smaller teams or smaller resources or budgets, and just trying to think through what worship leadership, how we can be as creative as possible and as faithful to the Lord as possible in the context that we've been trusted with. So that's what we're here for, and that's who we're here for. And today we're going to just kind of talk about the fundamentals, the foundations of worship. So a little later on, we'll kind of dive into the deep end of the fundamentals. It won't be necessarily new to you. If you've been on a staff or if you've led worship in a volunteer context, you probably know this stuff. But as we talked about before, fundamentals are important. Even for like the highest level pro athlete, they still focus on the fundamentals. So that's what we're going to cover today. But before we dive into that, let's just talk a little bit about what's going on, Daryl. What's going on in your world? It's Tuesday, about 9:45 at night. So how are you? How's your week shaping up? What's been going on, man?
A lot of work as usual. Our job doesn't hesitate to give us a lot of work, which I appreciate. You know what I mean? It's always got always look at the bright side. It's always good to have work. You know what I mean? But of course,
never a dull moment.
No, never. Of course, probably I think I added another project to my list of projects. I don't know why I keep doing this, but so I've added this podcast and I've added another project, kind of like a family project that we got going on with some family from Philly, New York, and here in Georgia. I'll share more.
Wait, is this another podcast?
Nah, it's not another podcast.
Okay.
I'm more of a guy, like I like to share more when it's a little bit more concrete. So I keep you and the audience in suspense. You definitely, once it's a little bit more concrete, like we really are serious about making this happen.
So this is just a tease. Okay, okay. We get the tease tonight.
Yeah, I'll definitely share more. But yeah, it's good stuff. It's definitely around this vicinity, this arena. So I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, I'm just busy working, podcasting.
Hey, will you accept guesses as to what it might be? Because I've got one. Can I throw it out here? Can I throw out what I think it's going to be?
It don't matter what you throw out. I'm not even going to answer. So it's just going to be like, are you
ready? Well, I'm still going to throw it out.
Are you ready
I'm
for
still,
crickets?
I'm still throwing
ready
it
for
out.
Crickets? If you're ready for crickets, go ahead.
This is the we're going to have the unveiling in a couple of weeks of the Daryl Pinnock family band. It's going to be like the Partridge Family, only it's going to be Daryl's family. Just tell me, am I at least close?
Wow. That is very interesting. I like it.
I feel like I've read you like a book. I've got it spot on. I'm not wrong, am I?
I told you. There go the crickets.
Oh well, it was worth a shot. I'm excited to see what it's going to be, and if it's not the Daryl Pinnock family band, I am going to be sorely disappointed. How do you find time for all this stuff, Daryl, that you put your hands into? Like, how do you balance?
Balance medicine is not easy. It's hard. Sometimes things overlap. But for the most part, I kind of like everything is in segments. So there's a time, everything is kind of in its spot. In the past, it was harder. Everything was overlapping, family time, everything was kind of overlapping into this, that, and the other. Now, for the most part, I got things in its pocket on its specific day or its slot in that day. It's never 100%, but I feel like it's okay. It's just this time and day. Most of the times it's early in the morning when no one's around, or late in the night when everyone's at bed. I try to keep the projects away from the time when everyone is up or around or need my attention, outside of work, of course, but yeah, that's what I try to do.
I like that you sacrifice.
Sleep.
Yeah, I was gonna say you sacrifice sleep, but you make the sacrifice, but not to the detriment of your family, which is hugely important if you're gonna be involved in anything outside of, typical work. You just want to make sure you keep the family priority, that's for sure. Talk a little bit about your family, Daryl. You don't have to dive too deep, but you've got several kids and.
I've got one wife, and I
That's good.
got four kids.
You're married to your first wife.
My first, my second, and my only
That's
wife.
it. That's right.
So one wife and four kids, and I love them. They're amazing. They're why I do everything. They kind of motivate me to do everything, and we're pretty close-knitted. We're a road tripping family. We love to road trip. Kind of like we've done some things that people probably, wouldn't do, but we love road trips.
That's awesome. Man, I'm always impressed when anybody has more than two kids, just because I have two, and just trying to keep up with them and everything else is a struggle for me at times. So anybody that has more kids than that, I'm like, man, props to you, because I don't know how you do it, and I don't think I could. So.
Well, I mean, two things. One, the Lord will give you grace. And two, I'm always open for company. Join me, please. Why won't you join me? It's kind of lonely over here.
That's good. That's good. No, we're done over here with the kid thing, man. That's number two. Number two came along, and we were like, "Yeah, that's about it. That's about all we can handle." So, no, our kids are awesome.
Oh, baby.
In fact, we just had tonight. We had a family game night, and so that's a lot of fun. That's the cool thing about the summer schedule, right? You don't have to rush them to
That's
bed, and
nice.
so we had a family game night, I say that as though we have like this perfect little family. It's not true, because those always are not quite as fun as I would like for them to be. It's like, man, can we have two very strong types of personalities in our family, and it seems like whenever we really try to sit down, like we just like butt heads, and so there's always a moment where the game night goes off the rails, but I think we steered it out of the ditch and we redeemed the night
Oh,
and.
that game that would do that to you, especially we got a competitive family. Trust me. I know exactly what you're talking
All right, Daryl. Well, we didn't come here to talk about nonsense. We came here to talk about some worship. And so let's jump right in, man. You ready to do this?
about. Let's do it.
We're going to start with our first segment, which is our song spotlight. Each week we'll highlight a song that means something to us. Could be song that just means something to us in personal worship. Could be something that we're finding that connects with our congregation. It could be an old or a new song. So this week, I am highlighting the song called Highlands by Hillsong United. So I found this song a couple of months ago, and it's actually my parents sent me the song. I think they had sang it at their church that morning. They sent it to me. They're like, "Have you heard this song?" And I listened to it. I was like, "No, I have not heard it." But it is a beautiful, beautiful song. Daryl, have you heard Highlands before?
I feel like I did, but I just can't put my finger on it. I feel like I did though. The name sounds very familiar. Now, if you're gonna run into this with me, like song names, like I struggle with that. Like if it's not like a song I love dearly, like Oceans or something like that, like I will struggle with the song name.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm with you on that too. In fact, I had to write it down so I remember the name of it. But you probably will know. I'm gonna play a clip of it so you'll hear it.
I'll praise you in the valleys or the sand. No. about to go into, you know what I mean? The Hole is of Holes is just about
It is a great
now.
Song. So, Highland's Song of Ascent is the name of the song, and I think it's just a beautiful piece of poetry set to music, honestly. But I listened to an interview with Hillsong United talking about the song, and they said that it's based off of Psalm 24, which says, "Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He has a clean heart, pure heart, and clean hands." And then a song of ascent. So, Daryl, are you familiar with the Psalms of Ascent in Scripture?
Maybe not. Maybe not by the name.
Yeah, well, I'll talk about it. Maybe you'll recognize it. But I read a book a few years ago. It's by Eugene Peterson. It's called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And it's about the Psalms of Ascent, which is a grouping of psalms. I think it starts at like 120. The idea is those psalms are the worship songs that the people of Israel would sing on their way to the temple.
Gotcha.
And so they're songs of remembrance of God's faithfulness and songs of repentance and songs of crying out to God as they're on their way to worship. I hear this song, the Highlands Song of Ascent, and it really is one of those, just a reminder of God's faithfulness. And it talks about how you're the God of the mountains and the valleys. And I just think, man, it's just such a beautiful song and a great reminder when things get tough or when doubts creep in. Just to remember that God's still faithful and God's still God. Highlands or lowlands, wherever you're at in life, God's still God, God's still in control.
So true.
So I will praise you on the mountain.
All right, that was our song spotlight. Now I'm going to kick it over to Daryl. So each week we'll do a song and then we'll also talk about a resource. And one of the things we want to highlight is a resource that's really helpful in planning worship and getting prepared for worship. Some of the things that we use on a weekly basis or on a regular basis just to prepare and lead the teams that we lead. And so this week's Worship Ready resource. Daryl, do you have something for us?
Yeah, I want to share something very simple but can help you keep communication with your team. Microsoft To-Do. So Microsoft To-Do. So it's basically a list app, so you could create all different type of lists. And the good thing about this is that you could share the list with someone else. So multiple people can share one list. So we use this for songs to kind of like dump songs that we're thinking about that day, that week, whatever the case may be. And just, you know, sometimes a song comes to your mind and you can't, by the time you get to rehearsal, you don't remember it. So the minute you hear it, you got the app on your phone, you could just dump a song in. And so, and this is also a way for me, the leader, to make sure that the other people feel involved, that they don't feel like, okay, I'm always coming up with the songs. Because as a praise and worship leader, you always have songs. You have songs, as they would say, you have songs for days. So this is an opportunity for people to kind of feel like they're involved. And you may not do the song, but just to have this list of songs. Because as you know, we also get called upon out of the blue, out of nowhere, to kind of help with the service, sing something. And it's just like, to scroll through the list. Listen, this is real. You don't always have like the most beautiful, you don't have this spirit, just you just float in and you always, you know what I mean? Sometimes you got to go through a list and say, okay, this is appropriate. Let me sing that. And so it's called Microsoft To-Do. It's just a simple little app just to help you keep connected and share information. You could set dates on it. So it's part a list generator, also like a calendar. You could connect it to your calendar. So it does multiple things, but it's a way to just kind of keep you connected with your members.
So is that something that each team member would have on their smartphone or device?
Yeah, you could just download, everyone could download the app And then, like, whoever's started the list or the leader, they could share the list with all these different people and everyone be on the list. 'Cause I use it for more than just songs now. I use it for a lot of things. Me and my wife got a list together that we share, you know what I mean, for different things. So it's a great tool, but it started with me using it for worship.
I have another important question, Gerald. How much does the app cost?
You're in luck. It's free. Free.
Free?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's you could download it on your it got the desktop version, got the iPad, phone, and it's just a free, easy thing to use and it keeps you connected.
That's great. I'm all about free in life and in my ministry. I am all about free.
Yeah, I figure, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's the simple things. As I said, like we know who we're catering to, and budget is always like, you know, you have but so much budget. So there are all these resources out there that we're going to be sharing that some of them are going to cost something, some of them are going to cost very little, but most of all, a lot of them are hopefully going to be free. So, you know, just that you could use it and you may not even know it's out there. You know what I mean?
That's right. All right, Microsoft To Do. Is that right?
That's correct. Microsoft To Do.
Great. Go check it out. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we are going to come back and talk about the foundations of worship. This will be a great discussion, so stay with us. All right, well, we're going to continue our discussion about worship now. And as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, what we want to talk about is just kind of the fundamentals or the foundation of worship leadership. A lot of what we'll talk about on this podcast is going to be practical. We want to give you just, hands-on ideas and tips that you can plug into your ministry where you're at. But before we ever hit the practical, I think it's great to start with a philosophical, theological kind of foundation, because really that's the place where we lead from. So Daryl, really quickly, just to ask you, like when you kind of think about starting leading worship, what are some of the things that you feel like are just important to consider before you ever get to like even the songs, like when you're thinking about leading your team or when you're praying for or leading your congregation, when you're kind of in those planning stages. Can you talk about just some of those things that you feel like are important to you?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's just one of the things is like you're always trying to make sure that everyone on the team is on the same page, especially spiritually. And that, I mean, not in the sense like everyone is on the same level, because that's not possible for everyone to be on the exact same level spiritually. But at the same time, everyone has the same aim, and it's to help ushering the presence of God and help people forget about everything that's going on and just dedicate this moment to getting as close to God as possible. And in a nutshell, like that's your whole premise. Everything else is kind of like, you know, how we execute it, but the main focus is that. And as the leader, you got to make sure everything is first right with you, because you carry this. There's a responsibility, and whatever is in you flows down. So you want to make sure that you're good, and then just kind of encouraging your team and constantly like bringing where's everybody at, keeping in touch like spiritually, because I feel like you could be the most skilled, you could have all the skills, all of that stuff, but it still can be dry. It still can have no power. And it could be the complete opposite. Like you, of course, we want the Lord that you want to be in excellence at all time. But at the same time, I feel like where your heart is makes a big difference in how you impact the moment of worship, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. No, that's right. Think of it as kind of like being on a boat together and you're all rowing. You want to be rowing in the same direction. And if you're not, then you're gonna be fighting against each other. And so, as a worship leader, you not only have the responsibility of leading a congregation on Sundays, but you also have a team to consider. And you want to get everybody, like you said, on the same page. And really, you can only do that when you A are walking with the Lord, talking with the Lord in your own life. And then also, I think you have to be really intentional. Here's what I've found now that I am not just full-time in ministry, but I work, you know, in a marketing company and for my job during the week, and then I lead on the weekends, is that not everybody is always thinking about church, and not everybody is always, you know, thinking about their walk with the Lord even. And that's true for your congregation, and that's true for your team. And so as the worship leader, your job is to help develop and disciple that team to continue to walk in a place of right upstanding with the Lord, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, so it's a heavy burden. And I think for the first few years when I was leading worship, there really wasn't a plan. I was just kind of doing it by the seat of my pants. Just hoping that I was leading in the right direction. And, you know, obviously, I think, as you said, the Lord gives grace, and he did so in the team. But it was, I don't even know now how long, probably 6 or 7 years ago, I picked up a book by Mike Cosper. And the name of the book is Rhythms of Grace. And I read that book and another book that we'll talk about another time. But I read this book, and it really just changed my perspective. Opened my eyes, and it led me to lead both my team and my congregation from a really different place. And there are multiple approaches to how you kind of lead worship, and you know, a lot of that is just how God leads you and how your church functions. But
sure.
I think what I want to do as we talk about these foundations and these fundamentals is I really want to make a case for just the very basic level of where we lead from, and then what that looks like. The building blocks on top of that could be just a multitude of different looks and contexts. But I think from a base level, what we'll talk about will apply. And so I do want to say just very clearly that much of what I am applying and talking about comes from Scripture A and then from this book by Mike Cosper, and so much of what I gain from him and his insight.
Yeah, makes sense.
So the way I want to think about it is kind of how you would any like event or anything else, is the who, what, when, where, why, right? Who, what, when, where, and why is the way you kind of like identify anything. The first question, just from a worship standpoint, is who? Like, who are the participants of worship? And I used to say audience. I used to ask who are the three audiences of worship, but I think I've changed that because audience would imply that there's a performance, and that's not what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to engage and invite participation. And so the first question is, who are the three participants of worship? And the first is really obvious, right? That's God. Mm-hmm. The whole reason that we gather on Sundays is to reorient ourselves to God. We rehearse and recite and remember the good news of the gospel. We lift our eyes once again to the heavens, and we remember where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so Sundays, or whatever day that you worship on, whether you gather, those corporate gatherings are designed to reorient our hearts back to God, because we're so easily forgetful, right?
True. Yeah.
So the first audience, or the first participant, not audience, the first participant in worship is God. He's who we gather for. He is our maker, our creator, and our savior, redeemer. He's what we gather for. And so the whole purpose of worship is to give our adoration, our praise, and show our love back to him. And I think that's really basic. That's fundamental.
Yeah.
So before I move along, Darrell, I want to make sure I give you room to speak on that. You got any thoughts about that?
No, I mean, that's one of them. I call it, like, you know, the 101s. You know what I mean? If you want to just kind of put another twist on it, it's just like the 101s. And if we're not doing this for God, if he's not the first, then I don't even know. Like, it's not that serious for us to just come together, like, sing to each other. Like, you know what I mean? It's cool, but then it's no longer church.
That's right.
So it's no longer a worship opportunity. So putting God first, it just makes sense.
Yeah, and make no mistake, you know, it's even in a church service, it's easy to sort of turn the mirror back on ourselves. But again, the whole idea is to...
Oh, yeah.
And that's another podcast for another day. But but just in thinking fundamentally, you know, one, the first participant is God. And I call it participant because here's what I'll say, is that what's great about who God is that in a worship service, God doesn't just passively sit and expect us to put on this performance for him. Now, our goal is to offer him worship, but God actively participates. God steps in those moments of corporate worship, as he does in our daily lives, and he meets us where we are. He speaks. You know, I think it's, what's the scripture? I'm going to get this reference wrong. I want to say it's Lamentations that says, the Lord your God is with you, a mighty one to save. He takes great delight in you. He quiets you with his love, and he rejoices over you with singing. And so the idea is that, yeah, we absolutely sing and we offer our worship to God, but in return, God is doing the same thing. He is taking delight in us, singing over us, and he's a participant in worship. So I just think that's, man, how cool is that?
Now, I just feel like, you know, when we were talking about it, the imagery just kind of comes through my mind. And it's just like, we know that God is everywhere at the same time, but you could just imagine, like, we are all in corporate worship and God just appears, just comes in the room, and he's literally like at each person at the same time, kind of speaking to them in the midst of their situation. And he's doing some healing over there. He's doing some blessing over there. He's just doing some uplifting over there. And it's just like this. So it's just like, he's not, it's not just you that's doing something. Like, he's in, and the deeper you go, the more he's doing for you. And it's just like this constant, like, it's like this ebb and flow. Give, you give, he gives, you give, he gives. The more you give, the more he gives. And it's just imagining just the Lord in the room. And he's just like in each person's situation. That's just, I don't know, it's just crazy.
It's glorious is what it is. And yeah, that's, man, just a beautiful, it's unfathomable that God would even do that. That he would stoop to us and meet us where we are. Just praise the Lord for that. So thankful. All right, so the first participant is God. The second participant is the church. So we meet corporately, and I keep saying corporately because I want to make sure I differentiate worship that happens in the context of a church service or meeting, because, you know, worship can happen anytime, anywhere, and should happen anytime, anywhere. It's our life goal is to be worshipers.
Thanks.
But just thinking about on a corporate level, the second participant, God's first, and then the second is the church. And when I say the church, I mean those who are who have put their faith and trust in Jesus as their Savior, who are walking with the Lord, those who are redeemed by Jesus. That will be the church. And so much of what we do on Sundays is to honor God, but it's also to build up and encourage the church. And I think this is really clear in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Hebrews 10, all talk about, like, whatever you do, do it to build up the body. Meet together and so encourage one another. Spur one another on in faith. And so, you know, God's our primary participant, but then the church participates in this for the building up and the encouragement. And so as we sing, as we pray, and as we look at Scripture, the idea is that we would build one another up and then be sent out to live the good news every day. And so I just feel like, you know, the church is also just such an important participant, and as we lead, we have to keep our specific congregations in mind. Each congregation looks different, and the more that you get to know them, the more you know how to specifically encourage them. So second participant is the church. And then the third participant in worship, and this could be different for any given Sunday, but the third participant is those who aren't believers yet, who are, I don't even know the right phraseology to use here, is unsaved or unbelievers, whatever they are, but those that aren't walking with the Lord yet. And while we keep the church and the encouragement of the body of Christ in mind, we also have to remember that there are some folks who will walk in and not know what's going on or not have that relationship with Jesus yet. And we want to keep those folks in mind because there's an opportunity there to present the good news, and maybe they respond. Maybe they come to faith.
Man, this guy over here just like dropping scriptures in. Man, jeez, chill out, man. It's just episode 2.
I know, I gotta leave some content for later on.
Well, when we go back to the church, we gotta always remember that the number one way how the Lord speaks to us and influences us is through each other, especially in this day and age. It doesn't necessarily happen as much where he talks to us directly compared to us influencing each other. And that's why we coming together as believers is so vital. You know, it's 'cause we influence each other. We prepare us coming to corporate worship prepares us for whatever is going to happen that week or whatever we're going to encounter. And being with your brothers in Christ, it should empower you. It should sharpen you. So see that as a necessity and the opportunity. There's something magical happening. And I say magical because I just can't find another word. When people of God are just giving their hearts during worship, there's just something happening in the atmosphere that is just so beautiful. And if you ever like flip and you're worshiping and you just kind of look out and you see the people just in that moment where everyone is kind of reaching out and singing that song, and it's just one of the most beautiful things that you could just see. And it inspires you to say, God, it's like amazing. So never neglect each other because we need each other. And it's without a shadow of a doubt. We need each other.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that Mike Cosper talks about in his book is he talks about the worshiping body and how sometimes when you come in to worship, maybe you're not in a good place. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe you've got doubt. And sometimes the person next to you offering their heart in worship, maybe they're in a better place and they're in full confidence with the Lord right now or whatever, but you see them worshiping and their worship lends heart to you. And he talks about that concept of lending heart. And it's you're right. Magical is not the right word, but it really is that what can happen in those gatherings. It's sometimes unexplainable. And what it does, because you know, I think somewhat church attendance is on the decline, or church attendance looks a lot different than it did when I was growing up, because like faithful church members were there whenever the doors were open, right?
True.
But now, you know, I think they say like a faithful church member is like one or two Sundays a month.
Really? Wow.
You know, I get it. We live in a busy world and there's lots of things going on, and there's, you know, kids have like tournament ball on the weekends and that kind of thing. But if you look at it from the perspective of like, part of my responsibility to the body is to come and bring something that might encourage somebody else, or I bring my worship in such a way that it might encourage somebody else. Like if you don't show up,
that person is missing that thing.
Exactly. And like, not to put too much burden on somebody or too much weight, but it's true. If we are called to encourage one another and you just don't show up, like, who's missing the blessing that you would have to offer? You know, who's missing the word that you need to speak? And dude, I can't tell you how many times in my life it's been a person that just came up to me and just probably never even knew it, and just a spoken word or a word of encouragement that changed the course and trajectory of my life. I can give you story after story of that happening.
Now, I agree. I'm with you on that. I mean, I feel what we have to share about the Lord, and especially as we're talking about corporate worship, outside of us giving God glory, it's also for someone else. And through you passing that, whatever that thing is, to someone else,
yeah,
that's you giving God glory. And it's just this constant cycle. So I love that. It kind of makes you feel like it's not just for me.
Absolutely.
I'm doing more than just giving God praise or coming to church for me. It's like, oh, if I come, there may be something that I can share. Just, it could be a smile. It doesn't have to be necessarily like preaching or anything too crazy or whatever. It could be whatever, but whatever that thing is, it's to help someone else.
That's right. Yep. We mentioned three participants: God, the church, and then unsaved people. And so then that begs the question, okay, if these are the three participants in worship, then what's kind of like our focal point? What's the what and the why? What's the most, I think, fundamental, important thing? And so there's three questions that I think Mike poses in his book and that I pose to myself. And that is, what glorifies God the most? What encourages the church the most? And what can bring like a dead heart back to life? So what glorifies God the most? What encourages the church the most? And what can bring a dead heart back to life? And it's, the answer is the same for all three questions. And that answer is the gospel. Like, what glorifies God the most is the gospel of Jesus. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is God's redemptive story. His historically, like, accurately true redemptive story is the thing that glorifies God the most. He sent Jesus to redeem his people for his glory and for our good. So the gospel is what glorifies God the most. And so whenever we sing, whenever we worship, whenever we come together through our prayers and through the scriptures and through our songs, like, the gospel is central. We rehearse and remember and recite the gospel, the good news of Jesus, because we need it as a reminder, but more importantly, because that's what honors God the most. It's what brings God the most glory, is when we tell his story. The second then is what encourages the church the most. What is it that will lift up, encourage, send the church out to be the church, is to remember that good news. Like we're just prone to forget so quickly and so easily. We get so distracted with other things and we forget, like, the good news of the gospel, that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again, is not just good news for salvation, like a ticket to heaven, but it's also good news for every day. And so I need to be reminded. I'm forgetful. I need to be reminded. And the church is forgetful and needs to be reminded. And so what encourages the church the most? The gospel. And then last, what can bring a dead heart back to life is the gospel. So you may have heard somebody say this. I don't know who coined it. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good, but he came to make dead people alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a huge distinction, right? It makes a big difference. Like, God's not just like cleaning us up and, like, you know, kind of like straightening us out. No. We were dead in our trespasses, but God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love, brought us from dead to life. So I say all that to say is that as we consider how we lead, how we plan worship, how we approach our corporate gatherings, there are different topics that we might cover each week, different things going on in the life of our church each week. But really, the most important thing that we have to keep coming back to, that people need, that glorifies God the most, is the gospel. We constantly just go back to this good news. And it should never get old. And if it does get old, then we have a problem. Because there is no story like it.
Yes. I'm with you.
That's what changed us.
Mm-hmm.
God reached down to our cold, dead, broken hearts and mended it through the power of the gospel. So we've got the three participants: God, the church, and the unsaved. Why and what's the focal point is the gospel. And then kind of just fundamentally, the when and the where. So I'm answering those questions, the who, what, when, where, and why. And the when and the where, and here's the thing to keep in mind, is that worship doesn't only happen on Sundays at church. I think sometimes we put all of our eggs into that one basket.
Exactly.
And make no mistake, Sundays are hugely important, hugely special, as we've already talked about. But let's also keep in mind that what we do on Sundays is to prepare people to go out.
Right.
An hour on Sunday is a very small amount of time. We're preparing people to go out and then to live this good news. I love how the Message paraphrase puts Romans 12:1-2. It says, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. So that's just a paraphrase, but I love that about taking your ordinary, eating, sleeping, going to work, and making that worship.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we're to do, is to train people to do that. We encourage one another together. We turn our eyes to God, and then we send out to go and do that throughout the week, to live our ordinary daily lives as acts of worship unto the Lord.
Love it. One of the things, like, you know, like, I'm very mindset minded. And if you don't know, like, I'm always thinking about mindset, because I feel like that affects everything that we do, and even in just our spiritual walk. And as worship leaders, we hear this, we all know about the gospel, and someone may be listening to this and say, okay, I already know that, I don't need to hear that. But you got to understand that we need this simple message to kind of bring us back down. Because you always got to remember, like, two of the most glamorous things in church is preaching and worship. And at times, and being on the praise team or the worship team. And at times it seems so glamorous, and I don't know about you, but it can get to all of our heads, and we feel like we are bigger than what's going on or what's needed at the time. And we are preparing people to go back out through the week. In that moment, we want to give them the opportunity, help them get in this experience. And once we have this message always on our minds, it kind of brings the humility back in, and it kind of brings the empathy back in. And the minute a worship leader, a worship team can be empathetic during worship, it completely changes the perspective of what you're trying to do and why we are there. So there's I have tons of mantra, but there's one thing I've always said: a good day starts the night before. So you get a good Sunday starts the night before, and not the exact night, but before you get to Sunday, you gotta prepare yourself. You gotta make sure that you are humbled, you're broken down, that the Lord can use you. Because as I said, like, we've all seen it. I know you've seen it, Matt. Like, a praise and worship team can become very glamorous and completely end up forgetting why we are here. We are here to help people get as close to God as possible, to prepare them for what God has in store for them that Sunday, and to also just help them with whatever they're going to be facing when they get out of church, to go back to reality. So the more empathetic and the more humbled we are, the more we will have a heart for the people that we are helping, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I could not agree more. I just think, you know, so much of worship leadership is just a service to people. You're right. It's very easy to think that you're putting on a performance, and not even malicious or intentional. But it's easy to kind of slip into that. And that's the sin nature that just wants to break through, right? But it really is true. We should lead from a place of humble service to our congregation. And, man, you said it so well. Empathy is so huge in that. Like, knowing who your congregation is. And I think it takes a real, like, personal level. Like, you can't always be above, like, on that stage, and you can't, like, run to the green room, and you got to know your church, and you have to be of the people so that you can serve the people. So yeah, so much of it is just a humble act of service. And listen, here's what I know, is I know every worship leader who's listening to this right now, and every pastor and every volunteer, you know, worship team member that might be listening to this, not one person goes up on stage on a Sunday morning and feels like, hey, look at me. But we all struggle with that. We all struggle with, in the midst of it, like, oh, am I doing a good job? Are people impressed? Do people like the way I sound? Did I sound good? Did I miss a note? Did I play the right thing?
Right.
You know, and that's just natural. But what our attempt here is just to bring it back to the fundamental truth that, you know, it's a service, that there's a much bigger privilege and responsibility to be in the position of leadership that we've been entrusted. It is a stewardship. It is a trust that God's given us. And we just want to steward that well. That's it. We want to serve wherever God's called us. We want to serve well. We want to honor him. We want to build up the church. We want to offer the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. And so all of those things, we just want to steward it well. And, you know, we mess up, and as I think we've hit a couple times, God gives grace, and that's...
Tell me about it.
You know,
need that grace.
You said something earlier about, like, you think, I don't remember what you said exactly, but I was remembering, like, those times that I get done with a service and I think, ugh, that was awful. Inevitably, or, you know, maybe I didn't sing right, or maybe I just didn't feel like I was in it or whatever. Inevitably, those mm-hmm. are the times that somebody will come and be like, today was so great. The Lord really spoke to me through that. And I'm like, man, what were you listening to? And I think that's one of God's, like, ways just to keep me humble is just, you know, hey, you may have thought you did terrible, but I still speak regardless of what you're doing. I don't, you know, I appreciate your service, but I don't need you.
You about to start preaching right now. Preaching. Nah, but you know, it's just always a good thing to kind of, like, you know, understand where we all stand in this, in the balance of things. And as you said, like, it's a responsibility, it's a privilege. And the more we understand that going in, and the more we kind of, because, you know, at times, like, you got to be concentrating, because especially now, like, we're being pulled so many different ways. And, like, in any minute, something that you don't desire can sneak up. The wrong mindset can sneak up on you in no time. So it does require you actually putting a little focus on, okay, this is what I'm here for, and this is why. And, you know, because it's not only when you mess up, like, you've been doing so well and everybody starts stroking our ego. And then, you know what I mean? You get to the point where you're like, okay, you know what I mean? I feel a big time, you know what I mean? And it, the same thing, but just on the opposite spectrum can happen. And you miss. And the worst thing is to miss what God is trying to do for you and for the congregation. You know what I mean? That's the worst thing, to know that you missed it, because, like, that moment of, like, flesh, or that moment of weakness. So it does require, anything that has to do with us helping ourselves or helping someone else get closer to God, that he could touch them or do something for them in their situation, requires concentration, requires focus, because we do have, we have the flesh, we have the enemy that's trying to counteract all of that. You know what I mean? More diligently than we are at times. So it does require for us to kind of, like, you know what, let me concentrate on this just a little bit more than I usually would, if that makes sense.
I think it's Rick Warren that says you don't drift into, like, discipleship. You don't drift into discipline. You don't do that. You work and you fight against it. And that's going to be a constant level battle that you just always are going to have to put your time, your energy, and your focus on, you know, keeping your eyes on the Lord, keeping your eyes focused on what the task is at hand, and, you know, don't let it happen to you. You gotta fight for it, because, as you said, we've got an enemy who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy.
and you know, that scripture says he's at the door, just like scratching. Like, just waiting for just a little crack.
That's right. And not only that, you got the enemy, but then I've got my own self, my own flesh that has its own. Exactly. So, you know.
It's true, man. It's true. And we've all been there.
Well, Daryl, this has been a great discussion, and I think we could go on and on. But there's a lot more episodes and a lot more that we can cover. But just as I think about it and as we talk, knowing the people who could be listening to this and knowing the shoes that they fill, the seat that they sit in, I just want you to know that I don't even know you. We never met, but love you and praying for you as you do what God's called you to do. It is a noble calling from God that that's just we count a privilege ourselves and know you do too. So just praying that you'll continue to fight the good fight and serve God well. So,
amen to that.
Well, thanks for listening to this discussion. Yeah, we're gonna close with a scripture here in a second. We'll take a quick break and we'll close out. So we'll wrap it up here in a second. Well, each week we want to share a scripture, an encouragement from the Bible for you. And so each week we'll bring something that we've read that maybe God spoken to us or something that we find particularly meaningful that week. And so I'm going to read this week from Colossians chapter 1. I'll read verses 15 through 21 or so. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is so good. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Oh man, that's some good news. This Jesus, preeminent, our Redeemer, our Savior, who has taken us, even though we were hostile, and redeemed us and reconciled us to God. This is good news. Well, Daryl, it has been a pleasure to spend this last few moments with you, man. Thanks so much again for being a part of this. Couldn't do it without you.
Well, you could, but I'm glad I'm here for the ride.
I could, but it would probably be a train wreck. So thanks for keeping it on the rails.
Nah, dude, this is great, man. And just like, I just want everyone who or anyone who's listening, like, this is, I'm hoping that this does as much for you as it's doing for us.
You know, even if nobody tunes into this, for Daryl and I, this is so good. So good for us to just be able to remember these things and to discuss these things together. So good for my heart. And yeah, there's so much more to come, and we have lots to talk about. So I think next week we'll dive a little more into some practical things. I definitely want to get into what I refer to as like the worship toolbox. There's got to be a better name, but it's what I've come up with. So just some creative tools that I always try to look at and think about. So that'll be a multi-part discussion that I hope we'll start in next week. Also, just a note that, and I'll keep you posted as this happens, but we want to provide some written resources as well, whether it be an ebook or some blog post or something. So that's in the works. Lots of things in the works, even as we speak. So we'll keep you posted with that. We hope this becomes a community of encouragement for pastors, worship leaders, and volunteers. So thanks so much for joining us. Daryl, thanks again, man. We'll do this again next week. So make sure you tune in. Episode 3 coming next week. If we don't see you before, we'll see you then.
Yeah, love it. Can't wait.